What's that?
Right?
Electronics, what would we do without electronics?
Yeah. Okay, well, as Kathy already has shared one of the scriptures, I'm going to lead off.
Is it on?
Yeah.
I turned it on.
Nothing. Now, I was working when you had it, Melinda, right? Where is she?
She's
so it's just something about Malcolm. Just
yeah,
I think he like sucks the energy right out of this.
Sucks right out.
Turned it off. She probably had it on. Try it there.
I turned it on. I'll be able to talk loud enough. I think so. You should be able to hear me. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah.
Low battery, red light
means. What's that?
Red light means low battery.
Low battery. Okay, everybody ready? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This says, and Kathy's already read it, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." This is, I think, an amazing scripture. We're not our own workmanship. We're his workmanship. That means he's the one that's working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that means that requires us to have that real sensitivity to the Spirit of God. We're only going to be as effective as we are sensitive to the Spirit of God and listening to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord resides within us. Jesus says that we are in him and he is in us, and that he is in us. This is also something that's just way beyond if you contemplate this for too long. He is in us and we are in him. He in us is what gives us the ability to be who he wants us to be. This allows him to work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. But there's a cooperation that's involved, isn't there? We don't just kind of go our own way and all of a sudden God just takes over our being. You know that. We're seekers. We're those that are looking to stay sensitive. We talk to the Lord. We pray to the Lord. We ask him questions. We move into to draw near to God. And when we draw near to God, what happens?
He draws
near to us, right? There's a special quality that's going on. Though he is within us, his spirit is within us, there is something that he's looking for, and that is for us to draw near to him. Okay? He's in us. We need to be in him. Amen? So you get this picture. I guess what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because we've been talking about the Spirit the last couple. Talked about the baptism of the Spirit, and I want to look at something here more about the Spirit of the Lord. We know that outside of Jesus, we can do nothing. Outside of Jesus, we're fearful. Outside of Jesus, we try to move in our own power, in our own wisdom, in our own understanding of things. And Jesus says, outside of him, outside of his spirit in us, we really don't get much accomplished, do we? It looks, sometimes we fool ourselves and we think that we're doing something, but sometimes we're not. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to start in verse 7, because anything that is accomplished in this life is going to be through His Spirit, isn't it? Anything that we do for the Lord. The Lord says in Luke 19, I think it's verse 13, He says, occupy until I come. And that word occupy means do my business until I come. Well, what is His business? Well, His business is to be led by His Spirit. Right? We can't do His business if we're not being led by His Spirit. We're not being led by His Spirit if we're not sensitive to His Spirit. Not crying out for His Spirit. Not being humble about putting on some kind of religious airs or put on some kind, get into form, like I think it was Melinda was talking about. When people think of church or Christianity, a lot of times they think about the form of it all, you know? And that's not where it's at. One thing that we've tried to really encourage, generate in this congregation is that every joint supplies. We've talked about this for a long, long time. And this is very, very important. It's something that God's going to touch on here toward the end of the message. But it's so important for us. We don't want to be just a church that looks at other churches and copies things that they're doing, or look at how things have been done before and just feel so locked into certain forms that we can't stay open to the Spirit of God. Right? So it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read in verse 7, starting with, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with it. Not given to a few people. Isn't it? If you have accepted Christ and you're now in the body of Christ, you have His Spirit in you for your own profit. And not only for your own profit, for the profit of other people. And that's where we're going to get to. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with it. What does it mean to profit? To gain something, right? To be better off than you were before.
Other person would say, either for the common good or for the benefit of all.
For the benefit of all. Yeah. That's what we're getting to. Verse 8. For to one, now we're going to go down through. There are, in this particular passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned here. Okay? And we're going to talk about each one of those. I'm going to read through first and I'm going to go back to them. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by that same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by that same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. Count them up, there's 9. Okay? 9 gifts of the Spirit mentioned right there. And then verse 11 says, but all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. That means independently. You're not just given one of these. You can be given any one of those by the will of God, by the Spirit, anytime He chooses severally to give you whatever gift of the Spirit that resides in you that you can have. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Every single person in here.
Yes.
But we don't think like that lots of times. And we've got to see. We are at the end of an age. We're ready for a new age to begin. We are looking to usher, well, not us, but God's going to usher in His kingdom. And we're to, as Peter says, gird the loins of our minds for action. You know that? Did you hear that? The loins of your mind, the creative part of your mind, a mind that stays sensitive to the Spirit of God so that God can lead you into things and understandings and doings that you haven't considered before, or at least considered for yourself before. How about that? And it says here, these work by the one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Now, I'm going to go back through here, and let's look at each of these. Word of wisdom. A word of wisdom. Now, this is possible that all of us can, and I think all of us probably have, moved in this at times. Yeah? What is a word of wisdom? What would that mean? What's that mean? Young, we're all going to talk here. What's a word of wisdom? Well, what's wisdom? Let's start with wisdom. What's wisdom?
Understanding.
Wait, hold it. Understanding? What? To be, what's that mean? To be wise. You know, if we read these words, and we're a little fuzzy about what they mean, how can we know what the Scripture is talking to us about? So we really do need to know these words, don't we? What is wisdom? How would you describe? You have to be able to put into words a thought. If you can't, you're fuzzy about that thought. Or you need somebody else to say it. And then you go, oh yeah, that's what it is. I just couldn't put it in words. So sometimes we need somebody else to help us, but that's still okay. How would you describe what wisdom is?
A special understanding.
A special understanding?
Knowledge.
Okay. Is wisdom the same as knowledge?
No.
No, it's not. So we're gonna have a little, I guess this is a little lesson. Tracy, you have a
needful and understanding of important things, you know, of the Lord, you know.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Mine is know how to use knowledge.
Yes. Wisdom is using your understanding in the right way. That's having wisdom. Okay. That's having wisdom. Let me see if I wrote anything else down here. Well, I could say prudence, but then you can say, what's prudence?
And a lot of times it's because of what you've been through. You're wise because you've experienced something.
These experiences teach you.
And maybe you've learned the hard way or not, and then you have wisdom.
And so I wrote down here when I was thinking about this is that it's insight into something.
Right.
Wisdom is where you have direction. You can take what you know and apply it to something. Right? I wrote down here, let's see. It answers, gives answers to how to deal with personal situations, with world situations. It resolves problems. Think about that. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Wisdom gets you to a better place by applying knowledge that you learn lots of times through life circumstances, right? Life lessons. And you go, oh, I'm not going to put my hand on the stovetop anymore. That's having some wisdom. And how did you get that wisdom? Because that's child. But you know, it does get the point across. You apply something that you've learned to yourself or to a broader situation.
I think in this meaning too is God's giving you wisdom that you don't even understand.
Right.
You may not have gone through anything, but he's just saying, listen, I'm telling you, this is the way it is. And you gain that wisdom from God to tell others or show others besides your own wisdom.
Word of wisdom. This means you're speaking something to someone else, right? You're speaking this wisdom to help others. Isn't that right? So, this is from the Lord. God initiates it. He puts something into your mind from your experiences, or like Reggie said, sometimes you ever get a thought and you go, "Where did that thought come from? Wow, that was pretty smart of me." But it isn't us. See, when we get those kinds of things, the Spirit speaks to us. The Spirit speaks to us, and it's a word of wisdom, and that word of wisdom now can be shared, right? So this is one of the gifts that the Spirit gives to us, and just to be sensitive to realize when those things are happening to us, help us to understand. Oh, well, that was the Lord there, you know.
I think in some ways it's like to be circumspect. To understand the consequences of certain things.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, that comes from life, the life experiences. To be circumspect. Everybody know what that means? To consider everything that you see. All circumspect would be all around. You're seeing all the things that are happening in the world. And you make some wise decisions because of your own circumspection. But when God is speaking something through those circumstances, then it's a word of wisdom that's coming from God, telling you, with the way the economic situation is going in the world, and maybe I should store up a little bit of extra food, because there's a power outage or something, I would like to be prepared for that. You can look at things that are going on and get a word from God that's on a very practical level. You think that God speaks to us practically?
Yes.
Sure. He wants us to survive. Doesn't he?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, you know, you have to be circumspect. You got to look at things when things that are happening. I think lots of people, lots of Christians, you just kind of go through life, and you're missing out on this, on those sensitive times when the Lord is really speaking to you about practical things and about your spiritual life and about areas of sin that needs to be taken care of, and we're just so blasé about lots of stuff because we're saved and we're going to heaven, and you know, God loves me.
Live for today.
You know, I think that
Christians can become lazy
in the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit because they use generalized phrases that are in the Word, and it gives them it makes them feel like I have nothing to do. God doesn't have anything for me. But yet we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, no, there is something for us to be alive to.
Yes.
Alive to it. Not just passively going through life and, well, God will just get a hold of me when He wants to. And He's been yelling in yours and my ear for years. And our ears are dull.
Right.
Because we're just kind of floating along.
Steve. I think along with being lazy, we can also feel unworthy.
Yeah.
That was a word that we got the other night, and she pointed to people and said, "You, God has a plan for you. You need to get out of your seat and move." But some people feel like they aren't worthy to do that. So it's a combination of being lazy or...
And let's clear this up. We, all of us, outside of Christ, are unworthy. There's not one single person sitting here who deserves to go to heaven. Is there?
No.
Is there anything you've done in your life that qualifies you to go to heaven, except that you recognize that you're unqualified to go to heaven, but God so loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him will have everlasting life. That's what qualifies us, and has nothing to do with us. Does it? And so we become worthy, not because of ourselves. We're worthy to God. We become His inheritance because of what Jesus did. So let's just kind of throw that unworthiness right out. Because if you sin, and I sin, and I confess my sin to God, guess what He does? He forgives me of my sin, and He cleanses me of that unrighteousness. Wow! Whoa! Come on! You know, really, when you think these things through, you go, what a mighty God that we serve. What mighty love He has for you and me, that He set it up the way He has it set up. He's worthy, and He's in you. And that makes us worthy to go to heaven. And if that's true, then the things that happen in this life, we can't just say, well, God, it can't use me. He can use that person over there, but He can't use me. That is a lie from hell.
It is.
What happens when all of us in this room see ourselves as God sees us? Huh? When we become so alive to the fact that we are His workmanship and He has created us for certain things. Yeah, well, what's the first thing that comes through your mind? I wonder what it is for me. What are those? Don't you think that? I wonder what it is. What are the things that God wants me to do?
I hope it's not that. That's the second thing that comes to your mind, right?
Yeah.
As I say, I waited for 3 weeks.
Yes.
In my strength,
yes,
to accomplish something, you're going to say, I don't think you're right, God. I think you're wrong.
Doesn't that go with what Dan was saying? You know, he says, do I want to get up here? No, I don't want to. You know? But I'll tell you, this body of believers, we're growing in a good way inside. Because lots of you have turned away from that shyness and that feeling of unworthiness and see yourself that, hey, I've been born again for a purpose, and I want to fulfill whatever that is, God. Because, you know, we sing about how much we love God. Well, one of the things that should come out of that is, well, God, anything you want me to do, and I don't want to do those things, but I'll do it for you. Don't you do that for people that you love? Yeah.
Go and we're trying to be led by the Spirit and we try to do what God wants us to do, and we feel like we have been that sin is always there looming, at least for me, like to try to change it into, oh yeah, you did that for yourself, or you did that for this, or to try to make you feel unworthy. I get that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you'll try to listen to Him and be aware of what He wants you to do, but then when you open it and you do it, Satan will be right there and say, that wasn't for Him. You actually are human. You actually are a sinner. You actually are a loser or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, he's always there. So it's kind of like getting back into the Word and back into the Spirit, back into, you know, your relationship with God. And even when you step out and you do those things because of your faith in the Lord, that you're reconnecting with Him so that Satan can't keep on trying to get in there and say, no, you actually are a sinner. Or maybe you feel unworthy so that you don't go back to trying staying in that and trying to walk her walk.
That is so, so true. The enemy is always going to be there to try to knock you off. And the thing that's going to save lots of time that you can end up losing out on the Lord is if you're in the Word enough that you know, you have the understanding of what God says about who you are. You ever go back and do that? Boy, those are beautiful words in the Bible. We're a chosen generation. We're a kingdom of priests and kings and priests of God. Is that anything to sniff about? So why? So why not? You wouldn't do that. All right, let me go down through this because I don't want to get off track. Word of knowledge is another one that's in the list, and that is understanding, right? Knowledge is understanding things, right? And again, it's spoken, and God helps you to counsel with people. To give understanding to situations that are going on in their life. Right? All of us have moved in this. This is a gift from the Spirit. And it isn't like, we're not talking about your own understandings of things and moving in your own mind. We're talking about when the Spirit of God moves on you. And you have the Word comes back to you. You go, wow, I don't even remember that scripture. Now, never happened yet. You give somebody some scripture sometimes, or you give some counsel, and it's right exactly what they needed. It's a word of knowledge. You're speaking something to someone to remind them of who they are, or to get them closer to the Lord, get them more connected with the Lord. That's word of knowledge. Okay? That means you need to know your word, too. The other ones in here, I'm not going to spend a bunch of time. Another gift of the Spirit is faith. The power to believe. Now, this particular gift, we all have a measure of faith. And the Scripture says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We all have a measure of unbelief, though we're believers. Right? There are people who can move this gift of the Spirit, where that moving in that in faith actually lifts the level of faith in other people. Yes. How many times have we said for Lainey or others around here that your faith is an inspiration to me?
Yes.
Right.
There's when a person, and they're not thinking, oh, now I'm moving in the gift of faith here. No, they're just being who they are, and they're trusting God, and they're moving in the Spirit, and they don't even realize it, you know. But they're moving in the Spirit, and that level of trust and level of faith actually encourages and builds up faith in other people. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And that's what this gift of faith is all about. It can grab right a hold of you. Have you ever looked around when people are worshiping? Have you ever done that? I don't do it a lot, but I've done it a few times. Have you ever done it? Yes? I've noticed, I only do it if I feel prompted to. And usually it's because I'm not really connecting too well. And does that happen to anybody here? We're singing songs, but it's not going where you need it to go. You know, you're not making that connection. And sometimes, you know, this is my usual seat right here. And usually, I'll open my eyes at people that are in front of me, and I can just see hands up in the air, head back, and you know, sometimes that just gives me what I need to go. Oh, they're reaching into God, and I'm doing the same thing here. The heck with what my mind's doing, all these things that are going through my head. I'm dropping that. Look at them. Look how God's meeting them. And instead of turning and being upset about it and myself, no, that's going to be what I'm going to do. Yeah? That, you ever do that?
Yeah.
You know, I don't like it when you're quiet. Okay.
I'm the only one
that's
ever done that.
I see, that's what I'm afraid of. All right. That's why I like response, you know? Gift of healing, restoring the body. Sometimes it's restoring a person's mind, right? Soul, spirit, you know? So there's a restoration that's involved with healing. And notice that this is different than miracles. It's all by itself as a separate gift. This gift of healing in the body and healing in the mind, right? The next one says, working of miracles. Well, that's the Greek word dunamis, and it means power. Works of power. It can be something like, here's a work of power. Praying the enemy's working on him. Person, or maybe on you, and you bind the hand of the enemy. You know, that's power. That's dunamis power. That's power that comes from the Spirit of God. And dunamis is the word for miracle, but it means power. And so you and I move in that. Anytime, has that ever happened to you, where maybe some bad thoughts are going through your head? You know, you're feeling, start getting depressed about something, and the thoughts keep feeding that depression, and you go, no, by the Spirit of God, I bind these thoughts. I will not continue to think this way. And they go away. Or sometimes, because of our openness to certain things, they don't go away so fast. And you have to stand in faith and believe and take authority in the Spirit, and you will eventually see those thoughts push away from you. You know that?
Yes.
That will happen to you, guaranteed. Because the Spirit has power. The Spirit works a miracle by some little person like us controlling demonic spirits who are much greater than we are. Do you understand that? They're much, as the Scripture says, they're much greater in power. But, see, we have the Spirit of God. And when we stand in faith, we can see miraculous things like that. We can see miraculous things of strength. People picking up cars when something, you know, there's all kinds of miracle power that's out there, isn't there?
There's power in the name of Jesus too. Jesus can do many miracles if you just call on His name.
Yeah, the whole thing is it's not us.
Very specific in
yeah.
my life.
We're not, that's right.
When I was being choked to death by somebody very important in my life, and I saw Satan himself, and I called on the name of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, get off me.
Yes.
And just like that, off me, and I was able to be okay.
Yeah.
The power. That was not in tune with what the Lord wanted me to do.
Yeah.
I would leave.
Yeah.
But I listened and I prayed.
Yeah. You listen and you obey.
Yeah. I believe that power of Jesus, Jesus' name, that when any satanic force comes at me like that, there is fear from that power of Jesus. Like you spoke His name, that is fear to that in that whole situation.
Yep.
Because the power is so powerful in His name.
Yep.
It's just powerful.
It is. And It's not. What really happened? There's power in the name, right? There's power in the name of Jesus. But the power comes because you trust in that name. You see, right? You have faith in that name. Somebody else can say Jesus' name is not going to do much good for them if they don't have the Spirit of God within them. And you're a person who believes in what Jesus can do, then the faith in His name is going to have some kind of efficacy for you. But it's not if you're not really trusting His name. Right? Okay. Let me finish this. Working in miracles. That whole thing to perform unusual feats, transformations, beyond natural limitations. That can happen. For example, Jesus walking on water. You know, that was a miracle. Right? Okay. One of the other gifts is prophecy. And this is foretelling what is about to or what is going to happen. It also means anointed speaking. It means both of those different things in the New Testament. I think we're really lacking this particular aspect in the church. I think there's a lot of hype in this aspect. And I think we have to be very, very careful about it. But there's a very important thing in terms of what's coming up ahead, to have prophets that are speaking specific things to the church about what to do. You know that?
Well, I didn't know I was going to do this, but when, a couple of years ago, I was sitting in this aisle and Luke was sitting beside Luke because I think Ryan was hunting. So I said, Luke, come sit with me. And when we were praising, I was crying. Surprise. I started speaking and I said, if I can say this, I am the Lord your God and you are my people. I will uphold you with my strong right arm. I will uphold you in the difficult days ahead.
Yeah.
I am the Lord your God and you are my people. But I was crying, so I don't know if anybody even heard it, but that has stuck with me. And we talk now about the end times. That keeps going over and over in my mind. And He is our God.
He is going, He will see us through. Right. He will. Yeah. And not in a general sense. He's going to speak very specifically. Very, very specifically to the church. And we need people within the body that God composes the body so that we're without so that we don't have any need. There's all of these gifts are spread around the whole body. You realize that?
Yes.
So that the body can grow, right? So there are prophetic ministry among this group right here.
Yes.
And we don't want to be people that are dormant in our gifts. We need to have a little more fire about all of this stuff, you know. And God will touch you and let you know that this is your gift. Yeah, I'm done.
Heather and I had this conversation with people. If you haven't noticed, we're slightly opposite.
Slightly.
Part of this as well is understanding that everybody has their own gifts and not trying to peer pressure the other church people into having all these different gifts or feeling that they should be in a certain way.
Right.
And I think we can do that even inside this church and every church that sort of you were talking about before the tongues, but it can be just about anything to sort of pressure that, yes, you should be this way, you should be that way, rather than just respecting that.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Because the scripture that we read there in 1 Corinthians says that the Spirit gives out severally as He wills.
Yes.
So there's different things, and He's the one that passes it out as we need them as individuals.
Yeah.
There's another thing I'm not even going to talk about the office of some of these things, because there's offices, there's special anointings for different things. discerning. What's that?
We shouldn't put God in a box saying, oh, this is the only thing I
know. Correct, because we can move in any one of these nine.
To what God is saying.
Yeah, any individual at times can move in any one of these nine gifts. And I'm sure all of us have moved in a number of these that we've gone over already. In terms of prophecy, I'm going to finish prophecy with this. Amos 3:7 says, surely God does nothing unless he reveals it, his secret, to his servants, the prophets. So when God is about ready to do something, we can look in the scripture and we can say, well, we definitely have those prophetic instances through the scripture. And when we're talking about specific things, especially here at the end of the age, God's not going to do it unless he shows somebody. Because that's what he likes to do. He's a revealer of secrets, Daniel says. He loves to reveal things to his servants. He wants to do that. It's the glory of God to hold back or conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to search it out. See, we can search it out. We can say, what is going on? What's happening here? Coming up. And we can ask, and God, when he wants to, he'll say, yeah, I'm going to reveal that to this person right here. Mm-hmm. Isn't that exciting? Mm-hmm. All right. I want to get down to some things. And then we've already talked about tongues and all of that, so I'm not going to go into that.
I like the next one. Spirit works all these things to each one according to his will.
Yes. And isn't that a wonderful thing?
It kind of connects with what John said. You know, it's his will in how he's going to do this. And to whom?
That's right. Yeah. We can't sit there and judge who's supposed to be doing what or any of that kind of thing. We should be looking for all of whatever God has with the Spirit of God within every single person in this body to allow for that to happen, right? And be non-judgmental about it, right? All right. So yeah.
When somebody does reveal something, as a believer, somebody speaks like a prophetic word.
Yep.
I guess I'm supposed to have the faith to believe it.
Well, the scripture says, "Let the prophets be subject to the prophets. Let a prophet be subject to the prophets." So that means that it should be examined what the person says. You don't just run off and do whatever anybody prophesies. But you should hold that. If it witnesses to you, then you take that and you go with it. Yeah.
Put everything to the test.
Yeah, you have to put it to the test.
Well, I would like that because, like, when Noah built the ark, okay?
Yeah.
They said that rain was coming and only 8 people believed it.
Yes. Most people are not going to believe some of the things that are going to be happening in this world.
The majority of the people are not always right, aren't they?
No. What's out ahead, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I do want to say to you, you and I have to be aware. What is out ahead in this world at the end of the age is not pleasant. And you have to be mentally ready for that by trusting in God, hearing what God has to say about you. When he speaks to you, become more sensitive to the leading of the Spirit to do what the Spirit tells you to do. You're going to be in a good place. Because the things that are going on in this world are going to just wipe a lot of people. There's going to be a great falling away. It's already started. There's going to be a great falling away from the faith. Well, why would that happen? Because things are going to happen so in such a way that people are going to say, that can't, you know, I'm not serving God. This isn't right what's going on in the world. Why doesn't God intervene right? And they're going to walk away from God. All right, let me get to some things here. Because I wanted to say that what is so very important for us, because if you look down through that list, Not anybody here moves in all those gifts of the Spirit all the time, right?
Right.
So I'm just going to put out to you, and this kind of goes with the message from last Sunday at Heritage. Stay connected. Not just connected with God, stay connected with the body of Christ, because it's within the whole body of Christ that all of the gifts and the wisdom and the knowledge the working of miracles and all of what's in there, the power that comes through faith, it comes when the body is together. There's a blessing in the cluster, as it says in Isaiah, right? So let's just look at that, because this is where I want to encourage us how important that is. And this goes with what we heard earlier this morning. I'm going to run through these fairly quickly. Ephesians chapter 4, this is going to be verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom, Spirit of God with Him, the whole body fitly joined together. Did you hear that earlier today? And compacted by what every joint supplies. What an amazing thing when more and more people speak, right? And share and move in wisdom and move in knowledge. And have miracle power in breaking the power of Satan in situations. As every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Fantastic. This is what every single church body should be doing. It should be not so regimented that we dismiss allowing what the Spirit of God is doing in each and every part. Allow it to come forth when you're moved by the Spirit to do that. Amen?
Amen.
This is so important. Okay. Just a couple other scriptures to go with this, and then I'll be done. Hebrews chapter 10, it says this, let us hold fast, this is verses 23 through 25, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We need one another. You cannot walk your Christian walk all by yourself. You don't move in all the gifts, every moment of the day. We need, and God composed it that way so that we need one another. It isn't, it's true that it's you and Jesus, but that's not the whole story. It's you and the Father, and it's you and the Spirit, and the Spirit that's within the rest of the body of Christ. You realize that? Not forsake, and then in verse 25 it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We should get more. We should be, we got to get together more. And when we get together, we got to be around here longer. And that can mess your mind up right now too. Oh gosh. I mean, come on, church should be over by now. And when is this guy going to stop talking? And yet, if the Spirit is speaking to you, What better use of time? It's something else that goes on lots of times with us that wants us to bolt, wants to get away from the very thing that's going to feed more life to ourselves. It is amazing, isn't it?
But we have to mow the lawn before the rain comes.
Yeah. Yeah, like you know, Steve was saying the other day, you know, he decided he was coming to church, even though he really needed to get that hay. How'd that go, Steve? How'd that go? Was it last week or the week before?
Yeah, it was two Sundays ago. I figured I better get to church because I felt like I needed to be connected.
See? There it is right there.
But I will tell you that the hour and a half that I spent here, I lost my name. Because I lost the pay because I was here. But I don't care about that. I'm just saying. But the enemy was saying, you don't really need to go with it. Take care of the other things first. That's more important. And, the hay is not eternal.
Yeah. Lay up treasure. You know, I mean, if you believe what the scripture says, lay up treasure in heaven,
right,
where neither moth nor you know, that whole thing. You know, that whole thing. Instead of laying up treasure someplace else, coming, assembling yourselves together, taking time in the Word of God, praying to the Lord, worshiping. We lay up treasure in heaven. And we need to be reminded of that.
Yeah, Satan could have worked on Steve's mind saying, now see if you would have stayed.
That's right.
Taking care of that.
Yep.
And that's why people fall away sometimes.
Yeah. Yes.
Understand, like Steve said, he is not eternal.
But you know what happened? We got everything that we bailed, we got in on the top of it before it started raining. Oh. And then the hay that we didn't get in, it didn't get hurt enough, so the next day we tended it and re-raked it and mailed it, and it was fine. So,
so you did get it in.
Oh, yeah. And obviously, you can't, you know, shun responsibility either.
No.
Bad job.
Okay, I got two scriptures, and we're going to be finished. I promise you. You believe me, Julie? No? Okay.
I think you mean it in your heart.
I mean it in my heart. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, going back to that again. I just want to read some other verses there. This is 12 through 14. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Alright? We're all members of one another because we have the same spirit that's within us. This is a very special kind of relationship we have with each other. You know? And I see the love growing in the members of this body, and I just love seeing the love of Christ just overflowing. Genuine. Not some, you know, pasty faced smile where there's not really anything really happening inside a person's heart for someone else. This is real, isn't it?
Yes.
I think you guys know that. Because we're of one body and we have to see each other like that. Have the same care for one for another. All right. Last scripture. This is going to be Ephesians chapter 2 again. And I'm going to read the last two verses of chapter 2.
Which
21 and 22. It says this, talking about the chief cornerstone, Jesus, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. We're talking about us.
Yeah.
We need each other. We're stones. We're lively stones in the Lord's temple. Together. We better care for one another, right? And then verse 22 says, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Built what?
Together.
Not built separately. Not all by it. We're not a rolling stone, right? Where gathers no moss. We're not off by ourselves.
And that's what it's called, the habitation of God.
We're a habitation of God through the Spirit, and we're being built together for that very purpose. To be a habitation of God through the Spirit. Yes.
The kingdom of God is just not a matter of talk, but power.
Yes. Yeah, it's not a matter of just talking. It's a true thing of the Spirit actually moving through people, humble people that are not looking for their own recognition, but are also not shrinking back from being who God has called them to be. This is real important. I think this is where most of us are. We want to be humble, and we want to not be out there in front of people. And yet God calls us at times, all of us at different times, to step out and be a voice and be an example. Isn't this true?
We're not.
It isn't like there's an audience and then there's somebody that's speaking. We're all in this together, aren't we? And you have to, you and I have to be people that will step forward when God touches you. You have to.
Yes.
Okay.
One other thing I just want to bring up, which is kind of coming up a lot in this over the week, and me and Steve have talked about this, is the Bible is a book of balance, right? I mean, everything in it is all about balance, right? So in the Bible it says step out, right? When
yeah.
the Spirit talks to you. But there's also a time when the Spirit talks to you and says step back.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And that's what John was talking about, was saying, you know, we don't want to force anything.
Nope.
Because that's not us, right?
Nope.
But at the same time, if you hear something from God,
yeah.
you act on it.
Yeah.
And it's through the Bible everywhere. You look, it is a book of balance. But the key point of the book of balance is to listen to what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
If you're just doing something because you read somewhere that you have to do something in the Bible, you'll read a lot of that. You should do this and you should do that and but you're not listening and connecting with God, the Spirit, then you're acting on your own. And when you're acting on your own, you're going to go down a path that is usually not a great path. And so you've got to understand the balances that go on here. So a lot of times as preachers and people who talk the word will say things that will stimulate us, right? And we'll say, oh my goodness, I need to do this. And at the same time, you'll hear a message probably a year later, 3 months later, that's totally the opposite. And the reason is because it's a book of balance, and he wants you to listen to him.
Exactly. And these are real words. These aren't just kind of picked out. The Spirit moves on people to bring a message, and there's a reason for that message for that time, and for us then to act on it. One indication that I think is important with this is that when you talk about balance, if you always hear to stay back,
right?
Well, because you and I are his workmanship. Yeah?
Yes.
Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to move in the Spirit of God. So if we're created for that, and God has anointed us for particular things to do, and we find ourselves, well, I don't think that that's God, so I'm just going to be quiet. Well, that's okay at times, but you know what? If that's all that you hear in your mind, then it's not going to be God all the time. And you know how you learn? You step out and you do. And the Lord will show you. It's hard to move a parked car. When that thing's up in park, try to move it. But if you're allowing God to move you and you step out, yeah, we're going to make mistakes from time to time. That's okay. You get it?
He wants
us to be willing.
The balance of being together is
helps,
really
helps
important.
Out. Yes.
But there's also the other balance of getting out there with the sinners, right? I mean, it's not always meant to be together. It's important to be together,
yes,
but it's not always meant to be together.
Exactly. Yeah. Hallelujah. Reggie, you want to close?
Sure.
So, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you make this really real to us. We are your workmanship. You've created us for a purpose. We have purpose in our lives, and godly purpose. We should be doing your business until you come. And Lord, help us to understand what that is, to move out, not to be afraid. We know we'll make mistakes from time to time. But Lord, you're with us. You teach us. You're not going to punish us in these things. You're teaching us. And I thank you, Lord, that you